November 5th, 2019, to order. Alderman Feeders and myself, Alderman Molszewski, are here, and staff, and we have several visitors. So let's just ask for citizens' comments. Is anybody here for a citizen's comment? None. Minutes for correction and approval. Alderman Feeders, how are you feeling about those minutes?
They were minute-tastic.
They're minute-tastic. So we'll take them as presented. New business, one, EDC 2019-85, the building permit report for September 2019.
As of September, we have a total of 107 single-family attached homes and 15 single-family attached homes. We added 6 of those single-family homes in September. One of the notable things is actually as of the end of September, that's the most building permits we've issued, and as far as we can go back and track in our system.
For new homes or in general?
In general, for a calendar year. And I don't have to do that storm that came through, but yeah. I mean, once we hit cracked at 1,700, we're at 1,718 altogether.
Cool.
So, yeah, just need to be a... So. He was pretty excited about it when she told me. That's the most permits we've ever had in our system. Which in our system goes back to before 2000, so that's cool. The most we probably ever had.
Any comments or questions? All right, we're good with those. Let's go to EDC 2019-86, the building inspection report for September 2019.
All right. In September, we did 472 inspections. Of those, just as a side point, Bob Overtree did 159. Those are pretty much all roofs. So, Bob is officially our roof inspector right now while he's gone. I've been training Gina to help out a little bit too here and there because Bob's gone this week. So mm-hmm. It's, yeah. But that's a lot of roof inspections in a month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm disappointed with the amount of puns that were available to Pete that he chose not to.
Sorry.
Any comments or questions on the building inspection report? All right, let's go on to EDC 2019-87, the property maintenance report for September 2019.
All right, we heard 15 property maintenance cases in September. A lot of those were in Carly Circle. Those are predominantly Meadowbrook lots. I think one of them was a McHugh lot in there, but it was rectified. So that seems to be the big area right now. We had no communication whatsoever with Meadowbrook for about the last 3.5 months. Today was the first time we've actually spoken to someone from them. Apparently they're getting trucks back on the road and they want to start building again.
So you have to play nice?
So yeah, I mean, we just follow the process regardless of who it is, but that way I thought that was a little interesting. So I know that Melissa finally called someone back. We have been calling her or Aladdin at least twice a week for the last 3 or 4 months, and no one had ever called us back on any of these issues or other issues that have come up. So we finally heard back from her today, and it was a 3-minute conversation. So they said they're getting their stuff back together, so they're hoping to reopen or get their site going sometime this year. And we'll see what happens.
I always wait until it freezes to dig. I mean, it's just something. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it the hard way.
So any questions on the property maintenance report? Okay, let's go on to 4, EDC 2019-88, Economic Development Report for October 2019.
Hey,
Lynn, you are hiring.
You have the report in your packet. The highlight of my report is Sean. He's here, so you'll get to meet him. He's later on the agenda. He's going to be purchasing the Farm Bureau building in the downtown and can become a very instrumental person in our redevelopment of our downtown. He's got a lot of really cool ideas. So, but we'll talk about him specifically a little bit later in the agenda. And obviously, Arby's is open. Be gentle because they're really getting slammed. So people are going there, and it's been great. And
it's been great.
It's been absolutely great. So
they're getting slammed for having...
They're getting slammed with business.
Business.
I mean,
they can't keep up.
How dare you be busy?
Yeah, they're really busy. Yeah, they're super, super busy. Yeah, yeah. They're doing very well, big numbers. But, you know, like when it happens, then sometimes it's...
It's growing pains.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lines are a little long, whatever. So Jonas is trying to be hands-on, and
cool.
If we could clone him, it would be great. So, it's just he's really busy, very busy. Dave's going to talk about the subdivision over at Kendall Marketplace, and then as soon as we get that done, then we're going to be ready to kind of make announcements there. There's going to be two of those lots that are going to come forward and be two new projects built from ground up in front of the center. So we got to get this done first and make sure all of our ducks are in a row, and then so that's coming soon too. So next month we'll probably have some announcements to make for Kendall Marketplace and elsewhere in Northville as well. And also just want to remind everybody, November 22nd is the opening for the hotel. Mark your calendars, 2 to 5 is the open house, 3 o'clock is the ribbon cutting. So it's be a big day for us.
Do we have any, is there any interest in the Dick's building at all?
Halloween City, or I think they actually have it for another couple of weeks because they have to dismantle themselves.
Right.
And we have been talking with a couple of different people, so so there's a couple of different ways it could end up going. There's a couple of nationals who are actually looking at the center as well. So, we just continue the conversation.
And then, as far as the outlots that are already constructed, is there not outlots? The other ones in the strips.
In the existing strip?
Yeah, so in between AT&T, Sports Clips, all the other ones, all the way down.
Again, there are some that we've been discussing with, but those go very slow because at the national level, you're going through many different chains of departments, and then one person says, well, we're interested, but we need this to happen, so then you have to go back and score this person and say this. So
are those all 5-year leases, or are they doing active marketing to try to get those filled?
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. And, everybody's needs are different. Some people will want a 10-year lease. Some people want to, come in there and make sure that they've got the space locked up for 10 years. Some people want 5 years. It could be also a local person that wants to come in and do a something, and maybe it's a 3-year lease. So Alex Vernon, the owner, would be open to work with anybody. So to meet the needs of whoever's out there. So there's lots of different combinations that are kind of being discussed out there. And we meet every Tuesday and sit down and say, how did this one go? Where are we at with the conversation with this person? So
cool.
I think that as we move forward and have two ground-up outlots come out of the ground next year in 2020, because they'll be 2020 builds, I think that'll give a re-energizing to the center, just that happening, because it's never happened.
Right. So. Cool. That's exciting.
Any other comments, questions? Okay, we're good. Thank you, Lynn. So let's go on to 5EDC 2019-89, the Kendall Marketplace Unit 1 Final Plat of Subdivision.
All right, as Lynn just alluded to, Dave Schultz, on behalf of Kendall Holdings, is looking to replat Unit 1 of Kendall Marketplace. It's taking a couple of parcels and turning them into 10 smaller parcels for commercial development, and more of the outlots, as Lynn was saying. This one's pretty straightforward. The only thing we were going over is in the existing agreement, the development is held to continue to support the conceptual site plan that was originally agreed upon. Looking through this, on the very south end, there are 5 lots, 5 separate lots, as opposed to the conceptual plan, which shows 2 different buildings and a little maybe fountain or open space, public space there. In terms of the conceptual plan and this being in line, staff supports this. Total gross floor area would stay the same, as these would be smaller lots as opposed to what's in the conceptual site plan. So there's no real loss of anything away from the conceptual site plan. This will go to review next week at the Planning and Zoning Commission, and then it goes to City Council December 10th. Dave Schultz is here if you guys have any extra questions or any concerns.
Any comments, questions?
So is this, like, just from, like, since there's no elevations or anything like that, so is this kind of going towards, meets the outlet mall type vibe as far as the buildings are concerned with that, like, fountain in the middle? I'm just trying to understand what...
Oh, on the original concept?
Yeah.
How they
been visualized.
So that, like, that's the original. When I look at the new one.
Correct. And we're just basically taking that 3.5 acres and really more or less lotting it out. It's an ownership issue,
right,
where this lot one, you know, was 37 acres, and we're just basically breaking it up. It was always intended to kind of go through this process.
Right.
It, you know, it's all these retails and basically shrink everything down. We're not building this. The economy today is not really supportive of these big boxes anymore.
Right.
More or less.
It'll be more traditional standalone, retail, quick service, food type things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're looking at.
Yeah. And then you had alluded to the developments. What whereabouts in there are we talking?
So, back in 2007, when Kendall Marketplace sort of opened, you know, there was an idea that front piece was going to be like a town center type of feel, but that's probably the changes. So, what's happened is we ended up with some users that didn't want or need full 1 acre plus lots. So, it was like, how do we meet the needs of people that are coming in and needing like half-acre outlets? So we sat down and talked and said, well, here's a perfect thing, because we have this 3-acre piece in the front that's got to get subdivided anyway. So do we make it 3 lots? Do we make it 4 lots? Do we make it 5 lots? To be able to accommodate the users that come in that need a smaller slice of the pie to be able to build their building out of the ground. So the buildings, the two that I'm speaking to, would be on that front piece.
At the other corner.
It would be like 103 and 104.
Yeah, so those are the two.
Mm-hmm. And then it also gives an option, too, if a user comes in and they want 1 acre, they can buy the 2 lots.
Yes.
You know, the flexibility there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the underlying, you know, lot 102, that 12.5 acres that's left kind of in the center, that again has the option to go through the process again and subdivide again. But it's setting it up where now we're just dealing with one lot. Because again, it's a user and a ownership issue.
Okay.
You know, if Alex wanted to go build all that out today, he could go build it all out, but he's got to fill it. So that's the intent there.
How will they access parking with those lots? Like off of the back road?
Just similar to like what you have at Menards. I mean, think about Menards, how you kind of go that road, okay, right? I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're all private access roads.
So parking in the front facing,
exactly,
but then
front or back or side, each lot will have their own individual parking.
Anything else?
Good.
Okay. We're good. So we don't have to do anything until it goes to Plan Commission.
Correct. It'll go to Plan Commission, then City Council.
Okay. All right, let's go on to 6, EDC 2019-90, the Downtown Hill Landscape Bid Update.
Okay, so if you recall, about 2 meetings ago, I gave you an update after we had posted for the bid in September. We didn't get any responses, even though we had about 10 good looks from firms that were interested in the project, either a sign company or a landscaping company. So we reached out to those 10 individuals or 10 companies and asked them, you know, what were some of the issues and why they didn't follow through with the bid. They came back with 2 big issues. They said first that there was a lack of detail in the sign request. We were asking for them to design a sign as well as to build. So it was a design build. And we did not have the information for the landscaping as detailed out, and also the turnaround time as well. So we tried to remedy those situations, and we created a new bid, and the bid is actually an optional bid. So you have 2 options. In theory, you could have 3. So there's option 1, where you would just respond to the landscaping portion. Option 2, you could just respond to the sign plan. And option 3 is if you decide to pair it with a sub and respond to both. We included more detail in landscaping, we included in the packet, so we're looking at a more specific ornamental tree and land covering and shrubs, as well as we reached out to Aurora Sign Company to kind of render us the sign detail. And they gave us the original concept that's in there, which shows the Yorkville with the United City on the bridge. They were kind of pulling from the concept that we had on the comprehensive plan. And they also gave us a version without the United States on that bridge portion. So we made the bid more specific. It's going to include electric for the illumination of the sign, and we are also extending the completion date. So we're looking at a completion date of September 30th of 2020, and that's taken into consideration that landscaping work can't be done between July and August because of the water demand. So we are looking to go back out to bid if we get approval from the City Council on January 2020 and asking for responses back by February. And then we'll come back to you guys with our closing bid, and then we'll hopefully have this awarded by spring of next year. So if you have a preference for either sign, can you please let me know? We'll incorporate that into the bid package. For right now, it has the United City of Yorkville in the bid package.
Is the United City part lit up too?
No, no, it's not. Just the Yorkville portion.
You see it's all caps part? That's a
hill. Okay. Oh, yeah.
It's the same font that we used in the comp plan.
I was going to say, it's the comp plan thing.
Yeah.
Facebook and Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Which one was all caps?
Facebook. Oh.
Thanks.
Facebook just rebranded. They went from all small letters to all capitals. So
just rebranded to all.
I think they copied us actually. We put this out 2 years ago.
Actually, it wasn't a rebranding. It's a completely new arm.
That's true.
It's like an upper echelon.
Clear as mud.
Facebook.
Yeah.
I dig it. I mean, for lack of a better term, it's fine. Because I didn't expect we were going to get like artistic, you know, submissions, because most sign companies say, "You tell me what you want, and I'll build it."
Right.
But then knowing Aurora Sign and how like they're kind of like the regional, and I know national now, but they're like the regional resource for, okay, here's what we've done in other communities. They're the ones that did the big Puerto Rican flag over what is that? Off of Western going north. But like they've done like huge stuff, so it's like if somebody's going to draw it and know what the potential is, and then stay within budget-ish.
Well, they haven't given me a price for that, but they are interested in bidding the project. So
they originally probably just wanted to do the sign and didn't want to do any of their stuff.
They weren't one of the original 10 looks at the bid. When I reached out to them, told them about the project, they were interested in it. So with them doing the design, paying them to do the design, we can now use their product as well in our bid package. So whoever builds it will build that sign, whether it's Aurora or anyone else.
So when that happens and no one bids, can the city go ahead and do it? Because the bidding is for fairness, right? So if no one bids on it, can the city still go ahead with the project?
Well, yeah, you still have to approve it with a supermajority bid versus a majority bid. So, I mean, so there's no like process change in the vote approval because nobody bid on it. So, if you don't go out to bid, you can still approve something with a supermajority bid as long as everybody thinks that it's okay. If you don't go out for RFP, you could, you know, just contract with somebody with the supermajority.
Okay, that's what I wondered.
Yeah. So you have that same authority one way or another. I know the mayor at the city council meeting was going to bring up cost and budget, and his preference was that we not approve a project if we have a deficit in the TIF. So I know that'll be another point of discussion, you know, the relative value of this as a project versus what's available in the budget. So for whatever that's worth.
There was other alternatives listed in there, wasn't there?
Yes.
Yeah, I had a discussion with him, and he's just would like to wait until funds are better.
Yeah.
It's not like he doesn't want to do it, but not
right
now.
The action,
that's his recommendation, yeah, just because we're in a deficit.
Yep. The action is the RFP, so we would still have to open them and bring them back, and then you could discuss that amongst yourself. But his point to me was, why even go out to RFP if we're not going to approve it? So, okay, and I'll raise that.
Okay. So the next two things we'll just talk about, but then we'll talk about them again when there's actual money.
Potentially.
Is he coming from the TIF being in negative or the general fund?
That's it.
No,
the
this
TIF
would
being
come out
negative.
Of, the,
huh?
This would come out of the TIF. The TIF is.
Does it have to come out of the TIF?
It doesn't.
Because that's what I thought. I thought there was other alternatives if
and that's talking about an admin. So what if we approved it and then instead of sending it to city council, send it to admin and talk about where to pay for it? Because like,
that's what the facade program is doing.
Right.
Yeah.
A part of me is like, yeah, I get it. But the other part of me is like, well, how do you go forward if you're like, no, we don't have any money? Like, that's, you're going to end up paying more for whatever you do if you don't have plans set in place and you don't kind of budget for the things that you want. And I understand that there's wants and there's needs and there's, like, immediate crises. Like, plows, police officers, yeah, you got to prioritize that stuff. But from my perspective, if we're trying to get collective community buy-in and you're not the one leading the horn tooting, it's going to be the same way it was when Imperial Investments started buying all the empty lots. So the reason why this is exciting is because it's something that people can see on a plot of grass. And it's visible from all sides, and it's like, we talked about placemaking or landmarking placemaking as being an inexpensive way of making sure that there's a impetus behind growth as a community. It's not all going to be
maybe
on the city
we side. Should, maybe that's a good suggestion, is like, let's send it.
Yeah,
if we like this,
we want
this,
can you pay for it?
Yeah, but I figure out how to.
For it besides using TIF funds.
Yeah. That's what I thought maybe he was just, because if you went away for the TIF down there to be positive, it's going to be 20, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years.
Maybe never.
Maybe, exactly. So maybe there's another way of financing it.
Okay. This is kind of our pre-budget season, too. So, you know, I hate to have in-depth discussions on the relative merits of projects when you're comparing them to each other without seeing everything, you know, all at once. So, you know, I hate saying we should delay this 2 months for when we do our budget proposal, but if that's the concern from City Council, is that we don't want to deficit spend the TIF and that we're looking to find other ways to source it, that'd be my recommendation. It's like, let's throw it on the table, you know, have the discussion maybe in a couple months from now.
Being that it's the end of the budget year, is there any somebody who did use up some of their money?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's a large budget, a lot of moving pieces, so there's always the chance that that could occur too, which, you know, is what we've done with police cars and a couple other things. So
maybe we could work the sign in that way.
So does everybody like the design?
I like the United City of.
You want the
United
City. It's our name.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that it's consistent with what we did for the comp plan. And, like, there is nothing fancy about the little Yorkville, unfortunately. You have to make the fancy yourself, so I mean, cool.
Okay. So maybe we'll punt this to a future committee or city council meeting, just depending on...
Well, do you want
to... Can we punt it directly to admin?
Yeah.
January?
You can.
Or December?
Yeah.
When you do the budget, start doing the budget. Send it to admin then.
Okay.
Is that what you're thinking?
No, I'm there right now.
Oh,
yeah,
I'll
talk
now.
About
I'm
it.
Looking.
All right.
Yeah.
There will be conversation about it, yay, nay, this, that, and the other thing. I want to have conversation about it. I understand you can't pull the trigger on stuff just yet. We have to get some other stuff figured out. But I don't like the idea of discussing it here going, yeah, and there's newspaper articles and comments and people calling us. We need more auto parts stores, you know. But if all we ever do is go, yeah, let's do it. Nope, don't have any money. And we drop it. Mm-hmm. It's a freaking point. So let's talk about
the
committee.
Let's keep the moment.
Talk about a committee.
Okay.
And do
send
something.
It to admin.
Okay.
We're all okay sending it to admin?
Yep.
Thanks. Okay, let's do that. Let's go to EDC 2019-91, the art program.
Okay, so if you recall, a while ago, you guys asked me to look into some small art projects like utility boxes or manhole covers. So we went back, and the reason why it took us so long is because we felt the only way to do any art project in the downtown or anywhere in the city is to do justice by it, is to do a comprehensive plan. So we researched a couple of plans that other communities had done. Actually, we researched about 10 other communities, and we went to our main resources, which is the American Planning Association. And their guidance on this is that in order to have a well-balanced plan, you need to have certain components in it. And the major ones is the policy and procedures, how you're going to implement the program, but also what are your goals for the plan, the administration, and funding sources. So what I put together was kind of a series of those components into one plan. And it talks about the vision and goals, committee review. We're not creating a separate committee. We're using the EDC as that review committee. Site selection in the streetscape master plan, there had about 13 sites that they identified for potential art applications. from staff expanded upon that application, and we added additional types of art, banners, temporary art projects in that vein. We did create kind of an artist selection process, and at the end of the plan, you'll see there's an application for artists to submit. There's some qualification standards as well. We talked about cataloging these art projects and art installations, how we would maintain them if they're in the public way. We would create a maintenance agreement if these are funded through the city and their own private property, and then decommissioning of the art if the art installation wears old and we want to switch out. The biggest component I want to discuss tonight is about funding. The public art program, right now there's no funding or budget line item, but a lot of communities decided as far as funding, there's a different couple of different ways. You can earmark funds as part of your general fund. You can use TIF dollars. There's private donations. There's business sponsorships. There's grants. And then other communities have implemented what's called a percent for art. So if you do development within the area that's defined in the art plan, that you would either provide public art in front of your development in the public way, or you would pay a percentage of what your construction cost would be for the city to then purchase or commission art projects in the public area. I don't know if the city wants to go that far. These are graduated steps. But at this point, staff just tried to look at all the different type of art installations that we're proposing, kind of give you an estimate of what the cost would be and potential funding sources. So if you look on page 5, you have a wall mural, which we priced out about $30,000 each, and that depends on the size. You've got the manhole covers, and those are relatively cheaper. They're about $150 each, but that's not including the setup fee for the cast. The utility box art, there's about $15 a square foot, so based off of a general one, you're looking at $400 to $1,000 each. The interactive sculptures, those vary. Temporary art, that varies. But then banner art is another reasonably priced one, which is about $120 to $150 each. And we identified about 15 in the downtown, 30 in the downtown. 16 in the downtown. So some questions for you guys to think about tonight is funding sources. If we do move forward selecting the initial art installation, so the sites that we would look at and the type of art, and then any coordination that we could do with any local schools or community college art programs to identify artists. If we go forward and the comments that I get back from tonight, I can then incorporate those into the public art program, and then I would have the city attorney draft a policy resolution that we could adopt at a future city council meeting. So if you have any questions, Jason helped me with the design. He kind of did that background, so I really appreciate that. So if you have any questions about the plan, the idea, the funding sources, I'm happy to answer any questions you have and take feedback as well.
Comments, questions?
So I was working on some projects downtown Aurora when they started doing the utility boxes. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I initially kind of brought this to us is because there are people stopping and taking pictures of utility boxes. That's stupid. No, it's not. And then about a month after the majority of the boxes were done, downtown Aurora off of Galena, just on the west side of the viaduct, the artist Sammy Cervantes wrote one, painted a pair of wings on La France Bakery. And I had like three projects going on over there. And there are people driving, looking over their shoulder, finding parking blocks away, and going and taking pictures. Like if you click on the hashtag Hope Wings or Aurora Hope Wings, you're going to find thousands of pictures. And as stupid and as vain and as vapid as you might think that is, you're actually tying people from all over the region to a specific spot, and people take pride in having been to these things. And what's also cool about downtown Aurora right now is that their public art program, led by Jen Evans, who is awesome, she's like an artist herself, focuses on how do you attract artists from outside of the area, how do you give local artists a chance to participate and put their work in public places, but then also how do you facilitate funding for private projects that may or may not be within that particular developer's wheelhouse, right?
So I've been working on a project downtown on Broadway, and there's a little tiny alley, but it connects to a parking lot that they had been wanting to rehabilitate. Well, the building that we're working on is going to house a free play arcade. There is now an arcade-themed mural on the inside of that wall, and I will tell you it is less than a third of the price that you have, but it's huge. So a lot of those prices, I understand, they're going to be different depending on how you're looking at it. I'm guaranteeing that $30,000 would be a little bit more than that to do the grain silos. That's going to be expensive. You're going to have two or three sets of scaffolding, maybe a couple of lifts. It's going to have to be a perfect day with no wind because it's, you know, whatever. It's also going to have to be prepped. But I think there's a lot that we can do for a little bit of money, and I understand that, yes, there's no money. Don't talk about it. But that's kind of the opposite of how you plan for things. And the reason why you put this together, and it's awesome, like the fact that you have a concise PDF that will eventually be available to entice people to petition us to, hey, can I throw some stuff up on your walls? I like the idea of incorporating school. I know that if you got every art department involved in Yorkville, and this was a joint school board and city-funded project, not only would it look good because we're actually working together, not just on who's using what gym for what program, but we're working to incorporate the work of our students. And like, even if you just went so far as to break up, you know, bubble letters of the word Yorkville on a large piece of property and let each school fill in the letter, you can go as simple as that as you want. The idea is to have community buy-in on something that's highly visible. And I think most of us know that the best place to put a mural would be on the outside of Crusade, right? Everybody who's going south sees that. That's perfect. They started using it for advertising for events. That's awesome. So I don't know if that's like a potential location for one or if the property owner is interested in something like that, but that's one where maybe if it was a conversation between the school board and the city and we involved the property owner and that the cost didn't fall to one particular entity, but maybe we, through a party or a portion of a specific party, went towards helping fund this, I would look at the immediate downtown core area, maybe not up, you know, near where the jail is being redeveloped right now, but if we focus on a few of these things that are small enough in scope that with a partnership could be something where we're going to get some attention, at least from residents. I mean, when we first started talking about this, like, I could give you five guys that can do murals right now, and all of them owe me money. So they will come and they will give you an honest opinion, right? But when they do that, they're going to keep in mind that if they make it a placemaker, if they make it a hashtag, whatever, that one thing that they do today for a little bit less than what they can get in a larger community might end up getting them that gig in that larger community. So it's good to have the estimates, but I think regardless of the estimate, we determine what a potential partnership might look like between school, city, and private. And then, you know, Lynn's got all the contacts in the world for every property owner downtown, and we have a whole bunch of vacant properties, and maybe even the back of the Farm Bureau building would look dope with a bunch of murals on it. Who knows? The idea is to say we're open to it. There is a lack of money right now, but we have to do something to get the momentum to continue to roll because I don't want to keep saying, well, there's no money. We're going to focus on cop cars. We have to focus on cop cars, but you don't not have a Christmas, too. So it's like this is something where there's value to it. I didn't think the manhole covers was going to be as cool-looking as it is, but maybe that's something that would be the cherry on top because if you've got crumbling crumbling parking lots and nothing, but, oh, look at that fancy manhole. That's kind of like
they're doing
like,
manholes on Oswego.
But they've also, you know, Oswego has shaped up the portion of things, and that makes sense. We only have a couple of the utility boxes, and I found out that it's more of an ask for forgiveness than permission type process.
Yeah.
And I don't think temporary is something that's it's going to blow away, let's be honest. And I don't want to spend money on making a litter box on the river like that. I thought the idea was cool, but then I'm going, yeah, that's a lot of poop. like murals, utility boxes, giving property owners, like, this is what you can do on your building. Just let us know what it is and then let them do it if they want it. Because I know when the law office was first opening up, they've got that awesome wall right across from, you know, the death intersection. And they have more fun with the chalk because it's temporary, it's going to rinse off. Mm-hmm. But also, it doesn't usually rinse off because the rain never hits that direction. So if they end up having to hose it off and start over, it's a perfect spot for a mural because that's coming north.
Yeah,
so we were bookended by awesome locations. So if we like leave this plan the way that it is because it's perfect, but then we have, all right, this is our overall goal, but let's talk about the immediate future. What can we facilitate that won't shock the pocketbook, but will also make a large enough impact that we can have a Sammy Cervantes, Hope Wings type. It doesn't have to be wings. I mean, I still think the turkey vulture is the perfect mascot for downtown York.
They're all over.
They're everywhere. But we need to have this conversation publicly and garner interest in the idea that I can help pay for this. And if we know what a dollar amount is and we have those three parties all invested, maybe we can throw a party and hand out the jar like we do at 4th of July. So I'm totally in favor of it. I want to do it tomorrow.
I'm in favor of it, too. I just figuring out.
What's your you have a Wisconsin or a Michigan example? Where did you go when you saw a thousand?
Austin.
What was it?
Austin, right? The north of the Dalles.
Austin?
It's Austin, isn't it?
Oh, Austin.
Yeah, it's the first or second exit north of the Dalles.
Because when we first talked about this, you said that, and I went through
the U.S.
I went to Pontiac and saw with the Wall Dog.
Yeah, they have the Wall Dog Festival. Yeah.
And I know where else has got a lot of this stuff is in Stevens Point.
Stevens Point,
Wisconsin. But there's a college there, so I don't know if that helps get that. Stevens Point's the really, yeah.
Well, I think if we talk to every school, not just keep it to the, you know,
that's
the
one where
five, Christian's killing it.
Stevens Point is huge.
They would probably love to have a Mustang thrown up on a building somewhere. So I don't want to just make it, we'll deal with 115 because they're a taxing body. No, throw it up.
For the murals, it was Stevens Point that I was telling Joe about. Because that town, that's a ton of them in that town.
Yeah, and it's got to be incremental. I mean, we can't go in and go, you know what, we want that $80,000 shuttlecock. I know H.R. Green's totally going to, you know, grab that bid when it goes public, but we can't afford an $80,000 shuttlecock, which was in the downtown overlay plan, which still would be great. So we can refer to it, I'll meet you at the shuttlecock.
And I don't believe, in Stevens Point, that's a TIF area either. Because, like I said, the university's there. So I don't know how they fund it. I don't know the details on how they do it, but it's really stuck out.
Has any research been done contacting communities that have this?
Yes.
To see how they...
You mentioned Aurora, and there's a couple in California. So San Diego is another big one that had a large plan. So most communities, and I laid it out in there, is how they fund it. There's public-private partnerships. There's donations actually given to communities as well, but that would be on the public side, so it would have to be in the public area. But you can work with business owners, say if they wanted to do a mural, but they wanted to get some type of support from the city. It doesn't have to be 100% funded by the city.
Right.
They could go through our program, and then we would do all the heavy lifting as far as finding the artist and picking the design. They would have input, of course.
How is Batavia doing?
Because
they're doing a lot. They do a lot of stuff in downtown Batavia.
The Bulldogs
I see now. The one old place has a mural on the side of it. They're doing a lot downtown Batavia.
So I didn't reach out to Batavia, but I'm aware of the Bulldogs. We tried to reach out to them about 2 years ago. I know I did 2 or 3 years ago. They were scheduled in 2017 out to 2020.
The Wall Dogs.
So it's really hard to get on their schedule, but you can hire them, and that's how we got some of our estimates to do the work.
I was more wondering what's their financing mechanism? Does the city?
You're talking about two different things. He's talking about the painted bulldogs in the downtown.
Yeah,
right?
and then some of
their white statues, and then you give them a bunch of different partnerships.
Cows.
Well, and then there's some murals, too, I noticed now, too. And I just wondered how they did the financing part.
I don't know. Yeah. I have not reached out. But that's a temporary art installation that we've identified.
And then what's Aurora is a combination of both, right? They have private or public funds set aside, and then the person whose property it is pays for a few permit
things. They have a commission, which is not necessarily a body of the city.
Right. But the only thing, the only thing that I would want to make sure we did is have outside input, not just from four aldermen. I'm sorry, I'm not a fine artiste. I mean, I know what.
Well,
I'm,
this is new for me like, too. So,
but if we're going to do something like this, and it's going to be in the downtown, maybe it's something where we poll the downtown businesses, saying these are the artists that we're working with, these are their opinions, this is the opinion of the Economic Development Committee, and have it just be by email, like voluntary. Hey, you're a downtown business, either owner or operator. Get some feedback, but don't have it be where, don't send out a survey link, because then you're going to get a whole bunch of opinions that don't matter. So ask the people who are the people who would be involved in its creation, especially if it's something going on there.
And that might be something, too, to get, like, school art teachers. I mean, a lot of them are extremely, most of them are extremely
talented. I know Mr. Graham from Aurora Christian. I know he's not in Yorkville, but he's, like, incredibly vocal about making sure that businesses and communities know that even though they're in Aurora, they're willing to go wherever because all they want to do is create. So it's, we get enough people kind of talking about this and they get as fired up as I am about those darn wings in Aurora. It's like, we have an opportunity because we have a little bit of a stagnant environment right now as far as development goes. You got to do something to bridge that gap between nothing and something. And sometimes it can be as simple as a painting.
You know, the other idea is, if you gave us the Tim, we'd have another special event.
Right.
And funding, all the funds raised at that special event.
That's what I'm thinking. Is there a way, some kind of a fundraiser we
throw
could
throw a party,
have?
And Tim can probably figure out. That take a few.
Yeah, that's what he would probably do if you gave it to him to do. He would try to figure a way of coming up with another event or something.
Also, the other thing, too, is that you could, like, there's a new Kiwanis Club in town. They want to get more notoriety as far as being available. And well, Kiwanis is cool because they raise a bunch of money and they give it away. Well, in Aurora, we've done a couple, when I was in Kiwanis in Aurora, we've done a couple parks where we raise money and then a portion of, we decide as a board, all right, well, we're going to help fund the construction of this park. Funding the painting of a mural and having community buy-in and them having their ability to put their logo on it, that's something that would also work. So, I mean, there are a few community organizations out here that would work with that.
And that's why we felt having the plan would be that tool, that vehicle to pass along rather than just cold calling somebody.
Can could someone, if they wanted to do it, use it as a tax write-off?
Well, I think if you donate to a 501c3, then it becomes one if there's a foundation created. But
so if the city had a foundation, is that what you, or doesn't that work that way?
And again, when you participate, like in the Parks and Recs, like the city is a golf outing, that's sort of a, I don't know.
I just wonder if a business says, hey, I'll do this if I can have, use the deduction.
Yeah, the businesses can write that off, count on their taxes, if they used to improve their business, as long as they own the building. Like, say, in the restaurant, like if you were to put $10,000 in the new
I was restaurant, thinking, I was thinking more as, because they're donating to a public thing.
Well, so if it's on their property, it's not being donated to us. So if a mural is on a building that they own, they're not giving us ownership of it, so it's not an actual donation.
Okay.
If they were to donate art that we would then take onto our public property and our parks, that potentially could be one. Don't know for sure.
Okay.
But if it's on their property that they still own, it's not.
That's just something I thought about.
But if the Kiwanis had an event that they were co-sponsoring and the person made a donation to the Kiwanis Club, they're a 501c3, and then they made the donation to the city.
There you go.
Like, for the average person, you know what I mean? Like, if I wanted to donate $50, I think that could be a mechanism if you work with somebody who's a 501c3 like that.
Okay.
There's a lot. I'm sure there's a way.
Yeah, I was just wondering.
Coming from a professional fundraiser.
So one other thing that I wanted to mention, on public property or buildings that we have, if we do partner with the school and they're providing the materials and the art, there is no cost.
Right.
So there's an opportunity if we have buildings. One would be the Van Ammon Activity Center, which has a nice span, so it's a blank wall. If we decided to partner with the school district, that could be a test area for to see how this would work out, which would not cost the city anything but material costs.
Mm-hmm. So, where do we want this to go next? I guess.
So, I just want feedback from you guys, and I have some to kind of delve into, and then I can work on putting this in there and creating a policy with Kathy, and bring it back to probably the January EDC.
Is that fine with everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay, let's go to 8, EDC 2019-92, the TIF inducement resolution for the Farm Bureau building. Thank you for being patient, Sean.
If I can cover the legal end, TIF inducement resolution is the first step in the TIF process. It doesn't include any commitment from the city. It simply sets the property up to be eligible for a TIF agreement in the future, so there's no financial commitment. There's no commitment from the developer on what exactly they want to do with the building. It just says, hey, we're here, we want to do something, and you know, it preserves their ability to ask for a TIF deal from us in the future. So the property is the Farm Bureau building, which we already have an inducement resolution on with Imperial Investments, but Imperial is going to sell to Sean Labrasseur. There we go. Oh, thank you.
Perfect.
I practiced. And Alexander Reich. And so we have to do a new inducement resolution for them prior to their close on the property to protect their ability to get TIF from us in the future. So with that, I hand it over. Maybe you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. So my name is Sean Labrasseur. I live right over by Autumn Creek Elementary. We moved down here. My family and I moved down here about 2 years ago. I'm originally from Twin Cities. So if you want some ideas on some art, I don't know if you guys ever saw the Snoopies up there.
Thank you. Yeah.
But they did, I think, like 50 different Snoopies that were pretty cool, Snoopy statues. But yeah, so since moving down here, I have two little girls. They're 7 and 5. And they love the town. I love the town, so I want to do something nice. I want to be able to provide back. And the numbers look pretty good so far in that building. We're still under attorney review, so I can't share too much yet. But desired state would be to have apartments on the first and second floor, and then some commercial space in the basement for either a gastropub, a distillery, brewery, something along those lines. That's about as far as we got so far.
So you would have apartments where you walk in off the street?
Yep, so we're walking off the street on that first floor, and then the second floor, we'd love to keep that those wooden floors up there. I mean, they're beautiful. I don't know if you guys have seen them, but that it's such an awesome space.
Will you sell the pork burgers that they have available there?
The what?
He doesn't know about
okay.
that.
No, I don't know about
I'm
that.
Not going to tell you, but somebody's going to
oh, for the slaughterhouse. No.
No, they were good.
Oh, some of the best food that I've ever had
really?
In my entire life came frozen out of that building.
Yeah.
Is there access in the basement from the back or the side?
So you have those two garage doors, and then there's access on the side door there that leads you down to the basement. It's like right when you walk in, there's like a safe to the left, and then further down you can go right into the basement.
But not from like the ground level in the back.
That's what I was wondering. Is there access?
Correct. That so it's that side door. I think there's like a recently the city had put in like a
driveway.
A driveway.
Yeah.
So on that driveway, there's a side door right there.
That's okay. Where the
it's like it's not fully in the parking lot, but it's not fully on the street level.
Sure.
Is there,
halfway through?
Yeah, does that building have parking with it?
No. There's no on-site parking.
Because there's a lot across the street.
Yeah.
Are the actually are the parking spaces immediately to the west? Are those on the lot?
I don't
oh, those
so.
Four or five spots. I thought that was part of the city lot.
I think it's
yeah,
okay. part of the
brown. The lot is just the building.
Okay.
So
yeah,
there's nothing
zero
else
lot line. And how big is it?
7,500 square feet.
So is it kind of evenly mm-hmm. bracketed? Okay. So it's the entire footprint of the building is each floor as well.
Yeah.
Is there an elevator in it?
No.
Would he be required to put sprinklers in because it's over 5,000?
Yes.
You're aware of that?
Yeah.
And there's an extra meter over there for water access for him to do that?
Yeah.
And you're not going to not tell him that? Not that I speak Greek. What about a elevator? Is he an elevator?
It depends on a lot of things. He may need to install one, but there's ways, depending on what he does with the building. It's very...
They still have a chairlift.
Yes.
Okay. So you're good there. External fire escape?
That's not required. They have to have two forms of egress. So
yeah,
there
so
is an exterior fire escape on that one, but depending, it's so touchy depending on layout of the units upstairs and how we mm-hmm. decide to lay them out, depending on if you use the hallway system or if
yeah.
each one has its own independent access to the area where the elevator's at or...
Yeah, so we just had our architect, our foreman, and our GC in there, would have been yesterday. So I'll have an initial draw here in a few days.
So is the slide permissible for exiting the building during emergency? We should tell them now.
There actually
it is for airplanes.
There actually is allowances for alternate forms of egress. And if they were stamped and sealed by his engineer, you probably could go with a slide, but it'd have to be a certain pitch. And
so you know that York built a place
way off the slide.
So the apartments, are you thinking like two-bedroom type apartments or studio?
Yeah, so, the desired state would be to have more of penthouses on the second floor, and then the first floor would be one bedrooms. So, initial, it looks like maybe 10 units.
Oh.
Maybe. But we'll see.
Okay. It'd be nice if it's on the back side, too, if that's a solid wall. Someday, you could always glass it and have an entrance. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be great if there was an entrance, or the commercial down below. Mm-hmm. That's my thought.
Okay. So we're all okay with getting this resolution over to City Council?
Yeah. Why aren't the inducements attached to the property instead of the owner?
It's belt and suspenders. You could probably make an argument that they are attached to the property, but it's different successors and its signs, so then
who
you have to track
you
that.
It as a
that's for fun.
Only
that
the best, Kathy Orr.
Wow. Belt and suspenders. Like, apples to apples, I'm totally with you. Yeah. Belt and suspenders? How old are you?
I don't know, actually.
Do you call it a Davenport or is it a couch?
I don't have a couch.
I don't either currently, but what about $5? Is that $5 or is that a sawbuck?
No, not that one. No.
Do you call it an icebox or a refrigerator?
All right, let's move on.
Come on.
Okay, on that note, let's send this on to City Council.
All right.
And do we have any old business? No. And do we have any additional business? Yeah, so our meeting is, I'm calling it done at 6:52.
Yes!
Thank you.
Tacos!